And so far, I have gone through the Old Testament, and I've gone through the New Testament, and there's only two themes that I talk about that is the most precious thing. The first theme that I talk about is the Holy Spirit, second one I talk about the Holy Scripture, okay? HSHS, 2HS, that's the foundation of our faith, okay? And that's what the Lord has promised to give it to us. So I want to make sure that we draw on that so that we understand what the Lord talk about, both in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. So we have a word of prayer, and we wait before the Lord and ask the Lord to help each and every one of us. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that as we gather together in your name, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we want to learn your word, and I pray, O Lord, that you help us not only remember what you have said to us, and help us to hide your word within our heart, lest we sin against you, as you promised us that whatever we have heard from the very beginning, that if that remain in us, we also will remain in the Son and also in the Father. And Lord, I pray that you not only help the speaker and also help our children and memorize your word, and so that we can learn it together, and so as we get to know you, for we know that the Israelites perish because they are lack of knowledge, and they do not acknowledge you, so that's why they were destroyed. And I pray that you help us so that our life be built up because of your word and because of your Holy Spirit. And I pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And let us recite three times together, so that by doing so, you understand what we talk about. The emphasis is all Scripture, the Word of God, the Holy Scripture, okay? HS, the Holy Scripture, okay? All Scripture is God-breathed. And what does he mean by that? In other words, every word that is written in the Bible is God-breathed. Although it's written by man, but it's inspired by God. Okay? Inspired by God. It moved by God. The Lord moved his servant to write the Scripture, to write the Bible. Okay? Okay, I want to make sure that each and every one of you give Daniel the email, because today we talk about six Bible verses, and Daniel will copy it from NIV and send it to you through the email. Okay? Did any one of you give the email to Daniel? If not, then you better write down your email address. So all scripture is God-breathed. In other words, every word that's written in this book, although it's written by man, but inspired by God, moved by God, so that he write exactly what the Lord wanted him to write. So all Scripture is God-breathed. And why would the Lord write down his word for us? For four reasons. The first reason is for teaching us. If he refuses to be taught, then he's going to rebuild us. If he refuses to be rebuilt, he's going to correct you. He's going to discipline you. Okay? I don't see anyone, God's children, after discipline, he not turn around. Every God's children, after discipline, he will turn around. Do you remember the prodigal son? Luke chapter 16? I'm sorry, Luke chapter 15? Talk about the prodigal son. Once he was disciplined, so he turned around. So every God's child has to be taught with the word of God. If you refuse to be taught, the Lord is going to rebuild you. Okay? If you refuse to be rebuilt, he's going to correct you. He's going to discipline you. After he disciplines you, then he's going to train you in righteousness. So, all Scripture is useful for four purposes. First one, for teaching. It's useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. In other words, without the word of the Lord, we do not know what to do. The word of the Lord can train us to do the right thing. Without the Lord hearing us, we don't know that we should honor our parents, right? Honoring our parents is the right thing to do. It will go well with you, okay? Besides, you have longevity too. You can live long on earth. It will go well with you. Without the word of the Lord, we don't know that, okay? On top of that, after we are trained in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Why do we have to do good work? Based upon Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, after we were saved by grace through faith, we have to do good work. Okay? How can we do good work? The word of the Lord will equip us, will prepare you, equip you to do every good work. Shall we recite three times? And also, the Bible verse, the quotation too, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Did all of you have NIV Bible? Right? Why don't I ask Daniel the senior read it once? Okay? Read it out loud.
All scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
So in other words, if you claim yourself to be Christian and you don't know God's word, you are handicapped. You are not equipped to do every good work. You understand? So being a Christian, you have to know God's word. Because God using his word to equip you. To equip you to do good work. Okay? So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped. May be thoroughly prepared for every good work. Daniel the Junior, could you read it?
All scripture is God's breath and is useful for teaching me.
And is useful.
Useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Thoroughly, that means inside out, completely. Okay? So that the man of God may be completely equipped for every good work. So what happened if, based upon these two Bible verses, does our God want us to be taught? Wanna? So that's why he gives us God's word, right? Because God's word is good for teaching. So in other words, in the future, when you get married and you have children, how are you going to teach your child? Using your own way, your own word, or using God's word? Because God's word is useful for teaching. If you use God's word to teach your child, and if your child rebel against you, and he or she is not really rebel against you, it's rebel against the Lord. Because you're using his word to teach them, right? So we better learn it while we were young. When you grow older, when you establish your own family, and then you know what to do. Okay? First of all, you teach your children. What if your children refuse to be taught? What would you do? You rebuke them. Okay? And how you rebuke them? Using what? Using God's word. If he refused to be taught through rebuking, then what happened? You correct and you discipline him. Okay? And after you discipline him, so what happened? Your child will yield to your correction. And they will be changed. And then you start training him in righteousness. Okay? After he learned how to do the right thing, then you prepare him to be God's servant. Then he's ready to do God's word. So what have we learned from these Bible verses? Let's say once we become a Christian, once we become God's child, what's the first thing we have to learn? We have to learn from Mary. Sit by the seat of Jesus. Learn what he has to say to us. Remember the last time? 1 John chapter 2 verse 24. Daniel, could you tell me what it is? 1 John chapter 2 verse 24.
See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Father and in the Son.
Okay. See that. What you have heard from God remain in you. Okay? What you have heard from the very, very beginning, make sure you don't forget it. Okay? Make sure you remember God's word. When you remember God's word, what happened? You also will remain in the Son Jesus Christ, and also you also remain in the Father, our Heavenly Father. Okay? Now go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. The Bible says all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Do you find a lot of Christians, they go to the church, once they become God's child, once they become God's son, once they become the man of God, they start serving God, but they don't know God's word. Are they thoroughly equipped for every good work? So what did the scripture say? What should we do? All scripture is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Then and only then, the man of God, the children of God, the man and woman that belongs to God, the man and woman that has the Holy Spirit, that belongs to God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So what's the first step we have to do as a Christian? Learn from His Word, so that we know what He liked, what He didn't like, what we should do, what we shouldn't do, right? Is this a fair thing to do? If you work for a company, the company give you a manual, right? You follow the manual, right? And that's how you work. Do you have a manual in your company? You have a manual. You can't do what you like to do. You know what I mean? They give you a manual. From time to time, they're going to monitor you and to see whether you follow the manual. You don't follow the manual, you get fired. You can't do what you like to do. You have to do what the Lord wants you to do. So that's why the Bible clearly stated that all scripture is God-breathed. That you can put your trust in it because He write it down through His sermon. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Because God's word is going to train you to be His servant. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Andy, could you read that? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17.
All scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Okay. So I want that Bible verse to be memorized. Is there any question for these Bible verses? So what did I say? Let's say if you don't remember that, as you grow older, 20 years later, you get married, okay? Hopefully, right? 20 years later, how old are you? By the time you're 38, so probably you have a child, right? At least one. How are you going to teach it?
If I don't read the Bible.
Well, I don't know. I'm asking you, how are you going to teach your child at the age of 38? But if you don't, then how can you help them to memorize it? You know what I mean? So you have to set example, right? You have to start from yourself. You have to do it yourself, right? So you memorize it, and then you teach him with God's word. Okay? You remember in Ephesians chapter 5? verse 19. When you speak to your child, speak to one another with what? With psalm, hymns, and spiritual song. Right? If you don't have the Word of God remain in your heart, how can you teach your child with the Word of God? Okay? So I want to give you two more Bible verses. These Bible verses talk about the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, talk about the Word. And now, talk about the Holy Spirit. Okay? Holy Spirit. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Could you turn to the Bible? Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Paul saying that, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. Do you have a question?
Yeah, is it? Well, I don't know. I always see a lot of the same number, 316, that you're using.
I did it purposely, okay? Yeah. So help you to remember that, right? Any other question? The difference between these Bible verses and another one, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. I want you to read that first and tell me what's the difference. Thank you. anyone tell me what's the difference between 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 to 20? 3:16 to 17, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And God's Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, lives in you? Don't you know that? If you don't know, you better know it now. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, is holy, and you are that temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you and whom you receive from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Can anyone tell me what's the difference between these two Bible verses? Chapter 3 and chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians? I want you to memorize both. Okay? Can anyone tell me the difference of that by looking at the board? The whiteboard? Can anyone tell me? Moses, can you tell the difference?
On 3:16 it says that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you, but in 6:19 it says that your body is temple of the Holy Spirit.
Okay. What's the difference?
God and the Holy Spirit, yes. In the wording.
Okay. Can Mark, can you see a difference? Mark?
You must honor God with your body.
I don't think two of you understand my question. I explain to you, okay? In here, take a look at that, okay? There's a similarity in both of these Bible verses. One is, don't you know that you yourself is singular or plural, is individual or corporate? You yourself is singular or plural, is individual or corporate? Wanna? You yourselves is singular. You yourself is plural. In other words, when I'm speaking to you, I say, you yourself. We corporately, as long as we believe in Jesus Christ, and we receive the Holy Spirit from God, you yourself, corporately, are God's temple. But in here, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, do you not know that your body is singular or plural? I talk about your body. Singular is your body individually, okay? So your body is a temple, not the temple. A temple. In other words, God lives in you through the Holy Spirit. God lives in Daniel the Junior, okay? Body, right? And God also lives in Christopher's body, right? So that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? A temple. One of the temple, right? But corporately, we are God's temple. Do you understand? Individually, we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So make sure that if you believe in Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, what do you have inside your body? You have the Holy Spirit. You have the God Spirit, right? Right? Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand? Your body individually is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We collectively together, you yourself are also God's temple. So God lives inside me, and God lives inside all of you. I myself is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Corporately, we are God's temple. Do you know that? Now, do you know it? Okay? Now, what did the Bible say? The Holy Spirit is in you, inside our body. And where did we receive the Holy Spirit? We received the Holy Spirit from God. Why we receive the Holy Spirit from God? Because our Lord Jesus Christ does not want us to be an orphan on earth. He wants the Holy Spirit to help us. Help us to understand God's word. Help us to be trained in righteousness. Help us to do good, because we rely upon our own strength, we can't do it. If we have the Holy Spirit, we can do it. So the Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's helping us. Encourage us to do it. Empower us to do it. Give us power to do it. You understand? So, once you have the Holy Spirit within your body, you no longer belong to yourself. You are not your own. You don't belong to you. Who do you belong to? We belong to God. When we have the Holy Spirit within our heart, we then belong to God. Could someone turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 9? Could you tell me your name? Jerry? Could you read that? Chapter 8, verse 9? Roman is in the New Testament. After the four gospel is Acts, and after Acts is Roman.
Don't cause problems for someone with a weak conscience.
No, you're not reading the right Bible.
I don't have the right Bible. I have a different Bible.
It's okay, but let me see. Romans chapter 8, this is 1 Corinthians.
You are no longer ruled by your desires, but by God's Spirit who lives in you. People who don't have the Spirit of Christ in them don't belong to Him.
So, if we have the Spirit of Christ in us, the Holy Spirit is in you, and you receive the Holy Spirit from whom? From God. When we receive the Holy Spirit from God, then we belong to who? Jerry? We belong to Christ. Okay? That's why the Bible says you are not your own. You don't belong to yourself. We belong to who? To God. We belong to God, right? And you were bought at a price. Can anyone tell me? How did Jesus Christ purchase our body? Okay, tell me. Then he died on the cross for us, then how can he purchase us? What did he use to purchase us? Huh? His blood. We were bought at a price, a precious price. His life for our life. So that's why we don't belong to ourselves anymore. We are not our own, okay? We belong to God. That's why Paul saying that. Therefore, honor God with your body. You know what happens if we don't honor God with our body? Very likely, we're going to destroy God's temple. What happens if we destroy God's temple? Based upon 3:17. Why would God destroy you? Because we destroy his temple. His temple is sacred. It's holy. Right? So do we have a choice? Do we have a choice as a Christian not to honor God with our body? Do we have a choice, Moses?
Yeah.
What kind of choice do you have?
If you want to be destroyed, then...
If you want to be destroyed, do you want to be destroyed? Lena, you want to be destroyed? You want to be destroyed by God? Do you? Really? You don't want to be destroyed by God? Now, I want all of you children, listen to me very, very carefully, okay? If any of your friends, of your classmates, offer you drugs, offer you marijuana, offer you cigarette, and offer you free drink, I mean alcohol. If you drink alcohol at this age, and smoke marijuana and take drugs, are you building up your body, or are you destroying your body, Gabriel?
Destroying it.
When you destroy your body, what's the end result? You destroy God's temple, and God will destroy you, right? So in other words, if I go for a party with my friends and taking drugs, I ask in God to what? Please, come. And what? Don't ask for that, right? Lena, right? Don't smoke. When you smoke, you destroy your lung. You destroy your temple. The temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. God's temple is sacred, is holy. You destroy God's temple. God said, I'm going to destroy you. Isn't it the Bible say God is love? Could you tell me, Bonner, why? How come God destroy us? Isn't it? Can someone turn to it in Luke chapter 19, verse 10? Isn't it Son of God come down to seek and to save what was lost? Then how come he come down to destroy us? Luke chapter 19, verse 10. David, do you have a Bible? You have a Bible? Then you read it to me then. Luke chapter 19 verse 10. You don't know how to read? Chapter 19 verse 10. Isn't that what the Bible says? The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, he came down from heaven, sent by God the Father to come on earth, is to seek and save what was lost. And how come in here Paul saying that if we destroy God's temple, because God's temple is sacred, then God will destroy you? How come? Daniel, do you know why? Isn't it God is love? Then how come we destroy our temple? Our body? Because what? Because we destroyed the temple already, right? So you must ask God to help me to pull over, right? Clean it out, okay? Write stuff on scratch, right? Isn't it? Lena, could you tell me better? Do you understand what Daniel is saying? Isn't it God is love? And how come he will destroy your body? Because you destroy your own body already. I tell you another reason, okay? I want you to impress in your heart. The reason why God destroyed your body. Because you refuse to be taught. You despise His rebuke. You ignore His correction. And He destroyed your body. And through that painful discipline, hopefully you turn around. When you turn around, you'll be saved. You keep going forward, you suffer. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. You keep drinking, and God's going to allow your liver to be damaged by your own alcohol. Okay? You look at me. Throughout North America, the average age for native Indian is less than 45. Can anyone tell me why? They take drugs. They take alcohol. They die young. Lena, you want to die young or you want to die a good old age?
Kind of old.
Kind of old? Or you don't want to die young? Okay, well, if you don't want to die young, we better stop destroying our own body. Does that make sense? Hello? Right? Stop taking any drugs. Stop taking alcohol too. Don't smoke cigarettes, okay? Okay? Let's say, Andy, you see a friend who is your dear friend. When you see him or her smoke, what will you say to him if he's a Christian? That's not God's word. Where does it say?
1 Corinthians 6:19-20.
You have to memorize it. When you memorize it, and then you teach your friend, you quote the Bible verses. This is not what I say. This is not my opinion. This is God's word. It's God's instruction. We better listen to Him. You understand? So if you have a girlfriend that loves to smoke, do you want to marry her? Why? She's destroying herself, and then God will destroy her. Because when you get married with her, then you more or less will be destroyed too. Right? Don't marry a girl who smokes, okay? So I'm talking to a girl too. Don't marry a man who smokes. Because you're going to look after her lung, or his lung, okay? The rest of your life. You don't need that. Life's tough already. You don't need to add on any more problem. I want to start with another thing. I'm talking about drugs, I'm talking about alcohol, I'm talking about cigarette, okay? Now I talk about pornography. The Bible says, if I watch pornography movie, all sins are outside my body, except fornication, except adulterous, which is within my body. If I watch this kind of movie and read this kind of magazine, are you destroying your own body, Daniel? Yes. Then what should you do? Hey? Repent. Stop doing it. Because if you don't listen, Now God's teaching you. You refuse to listen, He's going to rebuke you. And He's going to correct you. And later on, when you turn around, He's going to train you in righteousness. Now I'll talk about eating habit. Okay? Stop the sugar, okay? Don't eat too much sugar. Otherwise, you become fat cat. When you become fat, are you destroying yourself? Are you? You destroy yourself. Okay? So, look after your body, right? Our body is sacred, holy, because our body is God's temple.
But the other way, some girls, they just don't eat.
Don't eat? It destroys body too. I remember there's a singer called Carpenter. He's from the rock and roll singer, Carpenter. Yeah. Because she didn't eat. And then she died of starvation. You destroy your body too. Let's go another extreme. Okay? Listen to me. Corporately, we are God's temple. We ourselves are God's temple. You yourselves are God's temple. Corporately, together. Individually, my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is what? Lena, what about your body? Do you want to look after your temple? Look after your body? Make sure they're in good shape? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit? Okay? So do we have any problem with these six Bible verses? Do we? The first two Bible verses talk about what? God, the Holy Scripture, talk about all Scripture, talk about the Word of God, right? The last four Bible verses talk about what? The Holy Spirit, right? The relations of the Holy Spirit with us, with our body. So, she wants me to talk about sex.
Who wanted you to talk about that?
Don't sleep around.
Just listen.
Don't
sleep around. Yeah. Sex is only for husband and wife. Anything outside that doesn't please the Lord. Okay? Sex is within marriage. So I want to go back to these six Bible verses. Did any one of you have any question with these Bible verses? So next week, you memorize it, right? So did anyone memorize the last time 1 John chapter 2 verse 24 to 27? Daniel memorize it? Christopher memorize it? Okay, go Christopher. See that.
See that what you have heard from the beginning? What made you
And this is you have to speak louder, okay?
I'm writing this to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. verse 27. As for you, so you want to do that again. Verse 27. As for you,
receive
from him. You do not need anyone but as he is anointing and has that anointing. Just as, very good, give him a hand. Anyone want to try? Donald, you want to try? No. Oh no, not me, right? Danny, you want to try, eh? Give the best shot. I'm writing these things.
As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you. And as the anointing teaches you, and the anointing is not counterfeit.
But as his anointing teaches you
about all things,
and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit. So in other words, not only the Word of God tell us to be remain in the Son of God and also remain in the Holy Spirit, also the anointing taught us to be remain in God, remain in the Son of God. The Word taught us, the Holy Spirit taught us, right? The Holy Spirit means the anointing. You got that? The Word of God taught us to remain in the Son and in the Father. The Word of God taught us, and also who taught us? The Holy Spirit taught us, right? Just as the Holy Spirit has taught you, remain in Him. Make sure you remain in Him. How can I be remain in Him? See that what you have heard from the beginning remain in you, right? Remember God's Word, then you are in Jesus Christ, you are in the Father. If you don't remember God's Word, you are outside Jesus Christ, you are outside the Father. So what's the benefit if I'm in the Son of God? You don't need to be taught. What are the benefits? You have eternal life. What are the benefits? Verse 26. Well, overcome Satan and death is chapter 2, verse 14. I say chapter 2, verse 26. We won't be deceived. We won't be led astray. If I'm in the Son, what happened? In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there's no condemnation, no judgment. Right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If I'm in the Son, I'm a new creature. The old has passed, the new has come. So make sure, children, you remain
in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. Ronald, make sure that by doing so, if it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. Do you want to remain in the Son? Then what should you do? Memorize Bible verses. Never too late. Moses, did you get it? Any other question? Jerry, could you tell me what have you learned today?
That if you damage your body, you are damaging God's temple, and if you damage your God's temple, you will be destroyed by God.
Okay. What else have you learned today? Other than that. So you memorize the negative thing, right? That we fear God. Help us to fear God. Then we shun evil. We make sure that we look after the sacred temple. Make sure that we look after our own body, right? We don't want to destroy our own body. If we destroy our own body, God will destroy us, right? So that we fear God. We, you know, what other positive way that we can learn today? Dennis, do you learn anything today? What have you learned? You have a question? What happens if Satan entered the temple? You think Satan dared to enter your temple? If God is inside the temple? You think the robber dared to enter a house that filled with policemen? They want to be gunned down? You understand? Make sure that what? Make sure that the Holy Spirit lives in you. Right? The Holy Spirit will guard your body, will guard your temple. Satan dare not enter. I give you the Bible verses. First John chapter 4, verse 4. What is inside us is the Holy Spirit. What is inside the world is the evil spirit. The Holy Spirit is greater than the evil spirit. So don't you worry about that. Could you read that to me? 1 John 4, 4.
You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world.
So what is in you? In here. What is in you? God's Spirit lives in you, right? So you have God's Spirit guiding your body. If you keep yourself be filled with the alcohol, then you lost control, you grieve the Holy Spirit. If He left you, you'll be in deep trouble either. Then Satan's going to grab hold of you and destroy you. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or you want to be filled with the alcohol? Then we better stop doing the drinking, right? Get rid of all these friends, that friend's no good. Okay? Any other question? Did I answer your question? So why are you worrying about that? Make sure we look after our own body, keep our body clean. Do you remember what Jeremiah 31, verse 25 has said? I will sprinkle you with clean water and you will be clean, right? And I will cleanse you from all your impurity and from all your idols, right? If the Lord has cleansed The evil spirit depart from your body already. And who's going to live inside your body? God's spirit, right? And if God's spirit is greater than the evil spirit, then you're okay. Right? Alright. Mark, do you understand what I'm trying to say? So what have you learned? Could you tell me?
Do not damage our body or the temple of God, and do not damage it, because you'll be destroyed by God.
Well, could you come here? Look at it. What else did you learn? It's God's temple is what?
It's sacred.
It's sacred? Then you make sure you remain holy then, right? And you are that temple. What else do you not learn? All of you learn the negative way. You also learn, make sure you learn the positive way. Honor God with your body. Why? Because our body was bought at a price, a precious price, with His blood. So we belong to Him. We are not our own. We belong to Jesus Christ. Okay? Negative way, shun evil, fear God, make sure we don't destroy our own body. Positive way, make sure that we honor God with our own body. Offer ourselves as a living sacrifice and allow God to use you. You know what? If you start memorizing Bible verses now, I will have a lot of Sunday school teachers. You know what? We don't need to hire you, pastor. I asked Daniel. Daniel can help me teach, right? Give them another 3 years. 3 years, you know, every week we what? We memorize 3, 4, 5, 6 Bible verses. 3 years, we're going to memorize a lot of Bible verses. Right? Anyone want to help me to be a Sunday school teacher? Would you please raise your hand? Anyone know? What did the Bible say? Read it to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. The last portion of the Bible verse. What did God say? Honor God with your body. And you people don't even want to honor God with your body. I ask the question again. Anyone want to help me to be Sunday school teacher now? Please raise your hand. That's better. Now I get 1, 2, 3, 4. How many again? I'm old, you know, you got to raise your hand. Okay? What about the rest of it? You don't want to honor, you know what? If you don't want to honor God with your body, very likely, you're going to destroy your own body. You either honor Him or you despise Him. Anyone want to despise God? Will you please raise your hand? I do it again. Anyone want to honor God by serving Him? Please raise your hand. That's better. Okay, I think you learned something. So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us not just memorize your word, help us to learn from it, because you taught us today. If we refuse to be taught, you're going to rebuild us. If we refuse to be rebuilt, you're going to correct us. You're going to discipline us. And finally, you're going to train us in righteousness. Because you want each and every one of us to be filled with your word, to hide your word within our heart, because we know that our body is sacred, is God's temple. Help us, O God, and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Not only allow your Holy Spirit to dwell within our heart, and let the word of Christ dwell within our body richly, so that as we teach and admonish one another, we teach with all wisdom. And as we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in our heart to the Lord. I pray that you help us. Not only memorize it, help us to put it in our life, apply it in our life, so that we honor you with our body. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.